There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point bulletins. We'll set roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jackson's radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Well. Let's see here. What's going on here? Am I on? Yes, I'm on. I can hear myself. I moved the mic farther away. Everybody's saying move the mic farther away. There we go. It is, what is today? Wednesday the, I don't even have it up on mine. I don't even know which
mode.
The 7th? July 7th? It won't let me change. Oh, I'm trying to change my the settings on my clock here. And I got rid of it. Whatever it is. It's 7th of July, 2010. This is a live show if you're listening on that same day. And the phone number is, as always, 559-561-8225. And we are coming to you live from Central California in the foothills of the Sequoia, Nevada mountains. Excuse me. And we are just outside the front gates of Sequoia National Park. And I've got the cam on just for a minute here. It eats up our bandwidth, but I wanted people to see that I am, in fact, not anyone else. I am Dutch Jones. See, I'm animating my hands. It's not a mannequin. It's not a picture. The lips match up if you've got a fast enough internet connection. I've received a few emails that said that I'm just another addition to Liberty Tree Radio. They just wanted to air another show. That I'm just a Mark Kornke. Some people even suggested that Mark Kornke is just adjusting his voice. We sound nothing alike. We have completely different shows. His is far more informative, much more experience in what he's doing. And mine is just a little show. And I may play homage to the Kornke clan up there in Michigan, but I am not Mark Kornke. So those people, I don't know if it's a joke. Maybe it's like this running joke or something that people are saying, oh, it's not real. It's just another hour of the Kornke hour, 2 hours. No, it's to me. And our little offering to the listener, who wishes to survive the coming invasion of the federal government, the next crash, the whatever you want to call it, Teotihuacan, if I got that right. But we're here. So go ahead and turn it off now. We can't use up all the bandwidth for just showing my ugly mug all over the internet. I got some comments about people saying, hey, I saw you on Saturday on there. We were just doing some testing. And I think the FCC doesn't care about us now. But if I keep broadcasting my head, they're going to get complaints. They're going to get a lot of complaints. We have to share in a small victory today. We went from 40 watts to about 240 watts today. We wanted to go to 400 on our FM flamethrower of truth. Why are you? What was that?
You want to go set up the camera?
Yeah, go set up the camera, Lou. Just ask. You don't have to do these weird. Oh, okay. I'm going to move this anyway. Lou's going to run down and set up the camera in the church today. We videotape down there on Wednesday nights. Okay, back to it. Our Vice Gerent Radio, 93.3 FM, we're pushing 240 watts. And we went around and drove around in a little 4x and wanted to see where we would reach. And we actually reached the extreme edge of our community. I don't know if it went further than that, but I drove to the last road in the last neighborhood of Kaweah Country. It's actually Three Rivers, a little place we call Cherokee Oaks. And it was funny, I stopped the vehicle to, you know, get a reading and look at my, you know, GPS and stuff so we can map it out. And the I looked to my left and there's a Gadsden flag flying right there, don't tread on me, in a guy's garage, and there's bumper stickers You know, it says, you're a liar, Obama, and all this stuff. So I'm like, I can't wait. I think once we get everything worked out, I'm going to go down there next week and fly to his house and tell him to listen to us. Because I'm sure he doesn't know about us. Because before, he was about 3 miles beyond where our signal could be picked up. So we've expanded by about 3 miles. We need a better tower. Right now, our antenna's up in a tree, but it's working. I'm really, really happy to hear that. I was here when it happened, but you get what I mean. It's a big weight lifted off my shoulders. The folks up here have been yelling at me for almost a year. We started this project in February, but we can't go to 400 watts right now. It just starts cooking the amplifier. So I turned it down to about 2.4 watts going into it, and it amplifies it by a factor of 10. It's a broadband amplifier. And so 240 watts out, plus we've got a Yagi antenna, which gives us about, I think, a 2 gain. So we're putting out close to 500 watts at the top of the antenna. And it's all FM, won't interfere. They already hear it. Our hippie neighbors already hear it. Somebody, Batvac, said, now you're hippie. But now what we can do is we can go around and put flyers up at the grocery stores. Heck, I'll go out and knock on doors and go, hi, I'm Dutch Jones. Want to listen to me? And hand him a flyer. It's gonna have more of a reach. And I it's funny because I know that the internet reaches far more than I do on the FM side. Otherwise, you know, I'd be getting a lot of hate mail from our FM email, you know, tcakfm at yahoo.com, tcakfm at yahoo.com. That's the email for the FM side of it. Now we're going to play around with the schedule a little bit because they want to put me on locally, which I kind of think is maybe not a good idea. Like somebody said, you're going to really upset the hippies. So I'm not going to change the show, but the people here at the church want to put me on FM, so that might be interesting. Next level is going to be going on to shortwave. It's something I got to work on. The antennas are much bigger. The powers, you know, we've already got a transmitter, a shortwave transmitter. We'll do it, you know, a couple hours a day. There won't be a network. But, you know, I wish we could stream this feed onto our radio station and then play it. Because what I plan on doing is that there are some of you that have told me you want to have your own show. And a lot of people say that. And then I'm like, okay, let's do it. And then I scare them and they run away. But all you need... You don't have to do music and roll in like I do. I don't know if you saw it when it came up. I got this really ancient old boat anchor audio board. I don't have a post office box. So I don't get as much hate mail. I get hate email, I guess I should say, technically. So all you need is just a headset like I'm wearing here. You saw it when – maybe you saw it. I don't know. The camera's kind of terrible. And just plug it in and just talk. Just come on. And we could pick times around the 24-hour clock. You know, of course, I do from 5 to 7 Pacific time. But if you want to come on after me or before me, especially those of you on the East Coast, somebody wants to come on from 4 to 5 p.m. Pacific time, all you got to do is let me know. I'll send you the passwords and over the cell phone show you how the interface works. It's very simple. And then when you're done, you hang up, and then I log in, and we do our show. There's a lot of networks out there like this. I actually got the idea from a white supremacy site called Stormfront to start doing this. They have Stormfront Radio. They have people in Australia doing a show. And all they do is the same thing. They have a different server, of course. But what they do is somebody logs in and then the other guy logs off. Now, if I had a good system up here and I was on DSL, I could just click on one of you guys in the chat room there and you'd be on the air. But I can't do it because we use satellite. And it's just terrible, and I'm never going to have DSL. And I've been kind of bummed about it because I wanted to do 24 hours of programming. I wanted to be able to do all of this, you know, where people could tune in anytime during the day and hear different voices of the cause. Not just me going on for 2 hours like is the way it is now. But if you guys want to do your own shows, I don't care if it's on gardening. I don't care if it's on, you know, how to field strip an SKS. There's stuff, you know, that I could never teach. And all I ask is that, you know, it's not vulgar. You know, don't get on here and share your best porno reviews with us. You know, you guys get it. I'm not worried about that. It would be great. And if you're interested in it, email me at dutchjonesshow@yahoo.com. D-U-T-C-H joenshow at yahoo.com. And what I'm going to do is, I'll talk to you on the phone. I'll give you a call, and I'll give you some tips and hints on how to make it easier to do. Some people have to have 3x5 cards. Some people write out a script. That doesn't work for me. I just spend about an hour before I go on the air either praying. I pray a lot before I go on the air that we get on the air. Lately, it's always been kind of a iffy thing. And then I just read newspapers online. I read articles. And right in front of me, if you look, when they came on, I've got America's Providential History. I've got a compendium of most commonly used quotes by Christian patriots. I got the Bible, of course. And that's just what I go to. Because when you're going to do a show like this, you got to go with what you know. I wouldn't be able to do a show on like automotive repair. I don't know how to do it. But if it's something I like and something I enjoy, which is the holy cause of liberty, it's a given. I already know this stuff. I discuss this with my brothers and sisters throughout the day. My phone calls are about the holy cause of liberty. My lifestyle is about the holy cause of liberty. So it's easy for me to do. But I'm inviting you, the listeners, there's your chance. We're going to start the Dutch Jones Radio Network. We'll call it something else. I mean, we've already got some other names. Remember, I asked you guys, I got some great names that you guys submitted, and I think I've picked on you guys enough, and I'm just going to pick one of the ones you submitted. And what we'll do is we just got to work it out, the time schedule. And it's as simple as saying, okay, when I go off, Warlin wants to take over for an hour or two and talk about whatever. It can be international politics, it can be national politics, it could be a Bible study. You could get on here and just read a Bible verse and then just give a dissertation on what it means to you. And if people are going to listen, they're going to listen. Now, the next question is, how do you promote it? You know, the easy thing is, I'm going to give you the venue to let you do this. And I'll continue to pay for it. I just ask that if you guys, enjoy it, just kick in some money to pay for the bandwidth. That's all I ask. But the best way to do it is set up a Facebook page and just start promoting it. If you already have one, promote it to like-minded people, And you look at the room right now. We got maybe, I don't know, how many people do we have? It doesn't say. We don't know how many people are listening, but how many people are partaking in the chat room are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in here. And then I've got it embedded on my Facebook. I have it embedded on MySpace. I found out that it's embedded all over the place. We don't know how many are going to listen, but you've got to start it out somehow. You've got to promote it. So just start telling people, hey, I'm going to do this thing. And if you want to take phone calls, the easiest way to do it is just get a speakerphone and turn that darn thing up real loud and lean the microphone into it and listen to it. I mean, I've got this old technology box here that does it, but go out and get one of those Radio Shack phone recorders, hook it up, and then get a splitter for your microphone in and just have it go in. If you want it, you can spend $25 on a soundboard or whatever. But don't let the technology keep you from just telling a good story or sharing a good message. You don't have to have music. You can just, boom, come on. Hi, I'm Joe Blow, and this is what we're going to talk about for an hour. And I'd like to start it out by reading this scripture. You guys can do it. You definitely, definitely, definitely can do it. Just from the emails I get from my core listeners, the 30 or 40 of you, I know that there's a handful of people in that group alone, if they would just get over their fear of public speaking, would be good hosts. Jaws of Life hasn't been with us for a while. I'm not exactly sure why, but I would love to have her come on and do a show on coupons and being a frugal shopper. So here's the offer to you folks, the listeners of the Dutch Jones Radio Program. After we'll talk it out a little bit, make sure you understand what it is. Email me and tell me you want to do it. And it's as easy as that. Spazball1 just checked in. I don't know if you're a regular listener, you just changed your ID, but it says, yeah, I got a station that is slowly growing. The internet is the committees of correspondence for today. The American Revolution, there was letters and posting them on trees and on bulletin boards. The internet's where it's at today. Now, we do have the FM side, but I tell you, I reach more people. I reach thousands of people a month through the internet, and maybe a couple hundred a month through FM, because there are people that just listen to the gospel music on our FM radio station here on Vice Current Radio 93.3 FM. And as soon as they hear my voice or Mark Kornke, they turn it off, because they're lightweight Christians. They just want to hear the Christian music, and we have Fox News at the top of the hour. I know a lot of people go, why are you playing Fox News? You're always back on Fox. It's the only one we can find that's free. And the computer likes it. It downloads it every 45 minutes, the latest news. We have some automation there. I mean, running an FM radio station is not as hard as you would think. Keeping it running is hard. The technology, the heat right now, it's probably in the high 90s, and because of that, we can't turn the power up. So we're only around 240 watts. In fact, let me make sure. I'm going to turn on our monitor back here, which is a...
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Morning Intelligence Report. I'm Mark Corky. One day closer to victory for all of our brothers and...
See, there you go. That's what's running on our FM side right now. We take all the hours that, the Intelligence Report is on, and we replay them. We'd like to play them live, but because of the satellite, it breaks up and everything. I'd love to listen to them in the morning and listen to them in the afternoon, and maybe I can convince them to get another satellite, but it's about $90 a month for the satellite service. Doesn't sound like a whole lot of money, I know, but I'm supporting a family of four, and we bring in about $1,200 a month. See, everything I do is wide open. I got no pride. And that's only because now... my money's been cut from the state government because I'm a Cal vet and the budget. And two, as you guys know, if you're a longtime listener, I lacerated my Achilles tendon and I'm not working. Nobody's going to hire a gimp, although I get around pretty fast now in this big booty cast thing. So that's where that's at. So, we want to expand, and I think the best way to expand is on the internet. And I need your help to do it. And I will do everything within my power to get you over that hump of going, gee, I don't want to do a show. Olima's already filled in for me once. Now, if you're listening Tuesday, I had to go down and get the equipment for the FM station, and I was down there till 6:30 at night. I was not leaving the repair shop until this guy was done. And he does great work. He's just a lot like me. He likes to talk, and things come in, and he gets distracted. He's a great guy, and I highly recommend him. But he's not good. It's not an emergency room. You got to go in and drop the patient off and come back. And I've had it down there for several months, and it's time that I just went down and kind of talked to him. So I couldn't do the show yesterday, so I sent it out. Unfortunately, everybody that responded, yeah, I'd love to do it, they responded at like 4 in the morning. So I need backup. We'll get a communication thing going. Those of us that are going to be doing shows, we can all share our cell phone numbers, and I could just send out a general text saying, hey, I'm not going to be on the air. Anybody want to cover my 2 hours? Otherwise, we'll just run a rerun. And for now, it'll just be, you get on, talk for your 2 hours. If you want to record it, you can, and then we'll set up some type of archive system for everybody. I'm sure Olima could tell folks how to do it. I don't want her doing everybody's show, even though she probably would volunteer. But we all have our archives. You set up your Facebook page. You set up a free web page, and you just start reaching out to people. Because I am certain that there are people out there that the only reason they don't want to hear militant Christian radio is they don't like me. They don't like Dutch Jones. They go, I don't like that guy. I don't like the way he delivers it. I don't like his eschatology. I don't like his theology. But if you gave him the same message without all of my luggage, they're going to listen. And that is the whole purpose of what we're doing, is reaching people to animate these people to action. It's a nice way of saying getting them to get up off their butts and do something about liberty. If you want to get on and just read the... SAS survival manual and talk about how you've applied it to your life. People will learn from that. And, we got lots of people in there. Scotty38's in there. Welcome. Spazball, I mentioned. Rocky Hill Ranger. Minuteman, welcome. And Batfag. True Sons of Liberty. Rocky Hill Ranger. Warland. Did I miss anybody? No. Good, good, good. And you can do it with or without the chat room. You can decide when you decide to do it. I like the chat room. Because when I do glance at it, if they're not talking about what I'm talking about, that's okay. That doesn't mean I'm going to change what I'm doing. But I may see something down there that triggers something in my head that goes, hey, you know what? I need that. That reminded me of something. And that's kind of what we do. And I think together we can make this something really cool. And I'm not doing it to rival Liberty Tree Radio. I'm not doing it to rival First Amendment Radio, which I left for really good reasons. No, and I'm not going to do it to make money either. It would be nice if I could get all the costs covered. I mean, if you go and you look at the chip in, it's at zero still for July. And we got to pay the electric bill. We got to pay, I told you about the satellite fee. The donation that goes to the church for letting us use the room. All kinds of stuff go into it. The things that happen behind the scenes. Because I can't keep contributing to it. I want to do it, and I'll do it any way I can, but you know, we have to support each other. We have to help each other. So if you guys are doing live shows so that when people tune in and they get a, they don't get just, oh, I already heard Dutch babbling on about, you know, the wonders of the five-gallon bucket, but they hear you doing some political thing, because, you know, I don't really get too political. I give you my opinion, but I don't understand all of it. If you want to do a political show, I think that would help keep people in and listen, and, you know, you direct them to the DutchJones.tk website, and maybe they'll pitch in $5, and that'll help pay for the bandwidth. Right now, the bandwidth cost for you broadcast is only it's like $18, I think, because I've limited how much storage space. And then, yeah, that's right, Bad Fag. The people who contribute are in here. And when I say contribute, I don't mean money, always. We have people that, just like me, they're broke, but they're sending me stories. They're supporting the show. They're volunteering by, like Only Maya is, by doing the archives for us. I got people that just, during the day, catch newscasts and call me and say, hey, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? And I'll go, no, and I'll go look it up. And it's something that's relevant to what we're doing here. And it's, like right now, I got people on Facebook sending me stuff. I like using Facebook. Facebook is actually a very good tool for this, much faster than MySpace. And right now on the Dutch Jones radio program site for this show, I got 464 people that signed up. And I can tell you that I don't actively go out seeking people. They hear about this on the radio show and they make me friends. Now, it's a huge mix. If you go through the friends list, you're going to find some people you're going to say, but Dutch, there's Ku Klux Klan guys on there listening. Dutch, there's National Socialist, well, let's just say Nazis on there. I'm not going to limit them. I'm not going to tell them they can't listen. I'm hoping they'll hear the message of liberty for everyone. But that's part of my ministry. So you're going to be talking to some people that you normally wouldn't meet at the corner coffee shop. Your lifestyle would not mesh with theirs. That doesn't mean that there aren't some good people in there that God has prepared their hearts to be plucked out of that lifestyle, right? I mean, you guys know the story about the California Grand, I don't know if I ever get this right, I think it was a Grand Dragon of California for the KKK, started listening to my show 3 or 4 years ago. Wow. And through listening to the show and the other things that the Lord was doing in his life, his heart was softened and he repented for his racist supremacy attitude and all that kind of stuff. And he came back to the Lord. I mean, he was saved before, but he was just on this path that he didn't get the whole doctrine. This guy was hardcore. And now he's up here and this guy is on fire for the Lord. He's reaching people that I would never talk to. Anything from your gutter drunk to your district attorney for our county has been doing a Bible study with this guy. Amazing stuff. So we don't know who we're going to reach. You don't know who you're going to reach. And you're going to bring a whole new audience to it, and it's going to grow. So, you know, enough with the cheerleading. I'm just trying to get you guys to realize what an opportunity it is here for you and set forth in a new avenue of a ministry for you. And even if you're not a Christian, or if you're a Christian and you're not one that wants to think of this as a ministry, you don't know what God has planned for you. You don't know where he's going to put you so that his light will reflect and shine off of you. That's all we're doing here. That's all I'm trying to do. Let's see. Spazball says, I live in Houston and I got KKK recruit letters on my front door. So did my whole neighborhood. It was also on the news that day. Yeah, they call them flyer drops. In fact, most reputable clans, you know, the ones that don't want any trouble, that are just into, you know, they're into Southern heritage and leaving people alone, they hate that. Especially, there's one, there's some clan groups that go to the border and they're just bad. I've seen them on Discovery Channel and on, you know, I know it's twisted stuff, but they're mixing fascism with clanism. Or clan craft, or whatever they call it. That's all it is. Had a rock, I guess, for throwing force. Yeah, they put rocks in the baggies or tied to them and they throw them. Technically, it's illegal in most cities to do flyer drops. We're going to do one for this show. When we decide to put it on FM, I'm going to go around and, like I said, if you weren't listening at the beginning, I'm going to put flyers up around town. I'll ask permission. And like I said, if I see a guy flying a Gadsden flag, and we've run across that a few places around here, I'm going to go up and knock on the door and say, hey, how you doing, brother? I'm a patriot. I like you. I like seeing your Gadsden flag on your pole or in your front window. I'd just like to hand you a flyer. Don't want to be intrusive. You want to tear it up, throw it away, that's up to you. But at 5 p.m. Pacific time, I'd really like you to take part in our show. We want to know what you think. We want to hear what you think needs to be done in this nation. Of course, I may get more than I ask for. I may get, you know, some psychopaths, and, you know, it may turn into a play Misty for me. You know, I've had that happen in my past. Not with this show, but when I've done commercial radio, I've had stalkers. I've had, like, middle-aged women stalk me when I was a teenager. Because my voice has always sounded this way. I always sound like a fat 45-year-old guy. And when I was 14, 15, and doing radio at the local radio station, I'd get these calls like, "Hello, you sound magnificent. I'd really like to meet you." And I'd walk out of the parking lot, and there's this, like, middle-aged Jewish lady, you know, in spandex, smoking a cigarette, going, "Oh, are you Sean?" Because that was my name on the air. Then I'm like, "No, he's inside. I'm just the janitor." I'd boogie out of there and hide. And then the janitor always seemed didn't mind when he'd come out late. I guess he was claiming to be other radio announcers. I got to take a drink here. Hang on, folks. They're coming up with ideas for me advertising the show. Yeah, you know, we're growing at a good rate. You know, we've got a lot of listeners in South Africa now. What's going on there is just terrible and unacceptable, and it's we're heading for that. Right here in Central Cal, violent home takeover robberies where illegal alien-looking folks are kicking in doors, holding people at gunpoint, taking everything, you know, and it's getting scary. And my attitude is, what kind of fool doesn't have a gun on in this neighborhood? When I say neighborhood, I mean the county. Even if you live out, this guy comes back from feeding his cattle, and there's like four thugs in his house brutalizing his family. Why wasn't he wearing a weapon? And those of you that are on Facebook with me, you know I sent that out. I'm like, what kind of fool doesn't arm himself? Lou's back. Hello, Lou. Are you there?
No.
No, you're not? Are you back? Was everything set up okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't break anything?
No.
So, you know, we here, it's not like we're just screaming in the wind and we're not talking about things that are happening. And, you know, 10, 15 years ago, things weren't quite as bad. And people were like, why do we need a militia? What's with all you Second Amendment nuts? What's with all you Christian zealots? Now people are going, hey, wait a minute. I kind of remember them talking about this. So a few guys down at the gun club, a few guys down at the bar, a few guys, you know, I play golf with were like, yeah, we're storing and stashing and getting ready. And now more and more people are. I've been talking to contractors, and one of the biggest things they're doing around here, especially in California, that's all I can speak to, is people are building safe houses and little hidden bunkers in their backyard, which is all good and well, but what do you do when the whole neighborhood goes to, you know, to turret around you and you can't get out? Or you got to get out and everything's buried in the ground. So that's the importance of a show like this, and we can bounce ideas off one another, and we can figure out different ways being mobile. Like right now, today, what we were doing is we were moving all of our Get Out of Dodge bags and all of our survival gear across the street to where we're sleeping now. We're not sleeping in the janitor's closet anymore. We don't have beds because we're just sleeping on the floor. Lou, hardcore, doesn't even sleep on a sleeping bag. He just curls up in the corner and goes to sleep. I put down my my mats and, you know, and a sleeping bag and lay on that and hit the ceiling fan to be cool and stuff. But we're moving all our gear across the street, and it's like we're, you know, positioning our weapons throughout the house, putting ammo here, magazines there. And I'm thinking, you know, I grew up doing this, but how many people would come in here and go, what's wrong with you? Why is there a gun rack in every room? Why is there a loaded pistol sitting on top of the TV? And my answer would be like, well, I go to your house and say, why aren't you protecting your family? I pity the family of a man, of a husband, of a father who's a coward and a wimp that doesn't stand up to be a soldier in Christ. And a lot of times when I'm involved in these digital arguments online, you know, going back and forth and somebody's, I always just say, man, I go, what's your wife's name and your kid's name? Because I'm going to pray for them because I feel bad for them having a coward for the head of their household. And that just drives them nuts. You know, I go, you're not preparing for your family. That is makes you worse than a heathen. Worse than an infidel, it says in the Bible. What verse is that, Lou?
2 Timothy something.
It's 2 Timothy something something. A man who doesn't provide and prepare and protect his family is worse than an infidel. Lou's going to look it up, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lou's going to look it up and put it in there. He's my little Rolodex Bible kid. My brain's just too worn out. My Rolodex is full. It's just nothing I could do. I just can't imagine being this way with my family. And I've always been this way. Even when I had a bad family before, my ex-wife drove her nuts, but I was this way. And then when my daughter came into the world, I read...
1 Timothy 5.8.
It's 1 Timothy 5.8. 1 Timothy 5.8. What's it say, Lou?
But if any provide not for his own, and especially...
Speak up.
Especially for those of his house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel.
See? You're worse than an infidel if you don't provide for the safety of your family. It says it right there. 2 Timothy 5:8. 2 Timothy 5:8. For those of you reading along at home, 2 Timothy 5:8. But that's our duty. That's our duty here. And that's what we do. And I'm inviting you to work with me. So think about it during the song. Think about it during the commercial. Don't forget that we do need your financial support too. I'm not asking for millions of dollars. I'm not Benny Hinn. What was that? Yeah, just let the song play.
How can we look in our children's eyes, knowing one day they might ask us why we didn't try to stop the tyranny to ensure the survival of our liberty? Our freedoms come with a mighty price. Let's not forget those who sacrificed. They fought, some died to keep us free, like our founders did for you and me. Freedom first, that's our battle cry. No, we won't sit quietly by. Fighting back with fellas, you will see. Peace was for all enemies of liberty. Times are tough with no relief in sight. They're trying to change our way of life. There are things right now that you can do. Use your God-given gifts to spread the truth. Our founders knew what they had to write in our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. We have a right to life and liberty. The pursuit of happiness is guaranteed. Freedom first, that's our battle. Millions of Americans can't be wrong. Tell everyone you know we don't have long. Freedom first, that's our battle cry. No, we won't sit quietly by. Fighting back with fellas, you will see. We'll vote out all the enemies of liberty. Freedom first, that's our battle.
Nobody takes responsibility for anything.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside inline water water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There's rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out an all-point bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
Attention.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah, I'm loose.
No, it's not.
Dutch is out for a minute, and
no.
I'm going to be doing the show.
I am not.
Today we're going to talk about my dolls.
I don't have dolls.
Action figures.
I don't have action
this
figures.
This is Jabba the Hutt.
Ta-fa-hoo-ta-fa-la.
Nuh-uh.
He's my favorite.
No, he's not. Okay, here we go. Lou, I hate it when I go out that and was you come you. Back quick and you try to take over the show. But that was you. You can do your own that show. Was you. You don't have to steal the microphone. That was you. Because, you know, it's just, you shouldn't be doing it. That was you. No. No, yeah, I was way over there and I had to hobble in here from the bathroom. I told can't you even to stretch. Do that voice. I said, that, well, it's your real voice. This is no, your fake not. Radio voice I don't that you have do. A fake radio. Yeah, you do. Well, folks, this is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. It is a family affair. I'm Dutch. That's my son, Lou, over there. And when he's not doing community service for, I don't even want to tell you what he does in the evenings. But he's here helping me with the show. Couldn't do it without him. He makes sure the computers are hooked up. I do the audio. He does the computers. And then he plays all the songs. I usually find the songs, but sometimes he finds the songs. He makes sure that the commercials play, and he does the website. He does all the website stuff. If you like the way our website looks and you don't want to do your own, talk to him. He does the church's website. He does whatever he can do. So, he just tries to help out wherever he can. God bless his little self, you know. Living in an iron lung like he is, it's pretty tough. We roll him around. We get him to his appointments and everything. My iron lungs are smaller than they used to be. But if it wasn't for that terrible, terrible garbage disposal accident when he was five, I think he'd be a successful and amazing young man. He's hard to look at because of the garbage disposal accident, but once you get past the scarring and the implements they had to put on to hold him together, he's not that bad of a kid. Anyway, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We come to you live Monday through Friday on the Dutch Jones Radio Network, and Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. On Liberty Tree Radio as well. They pick up our second half hour. I wish we could do 2 hours, but there just isn't enough money to pay for the bandwidth. That's where you guys come in. If you like what you're hearing, you can go to dutchjones.tk, dutchjones.tk. There's a pitch-in button there, and basically you click on that, you tell them you want to donate $5, they take it out of your hide, or I don't know how it works. It's magic, Lou tells me. And they put it in our bank account, and they charge a small fee on our end, and all that money goes to paying for our internet access, which is about $89 a month plus tax. That's for the satellite. We use Wild Blue Satellite. If you don't believe us, you can go look up Wild Blue and see how much their biggest account costs, because that's the biggest bandwidth we can get. And it's barely enough to do 2 hours a day. And then we have to pay the electric bill, of course. And we have to pay for the room that we use. We make a love offering to the church at Kauia for letting us use the facility. And we also promote the Church of Kauia for letting us use the facility. We need people. And that's probably what we're going to talk a little bit this second half hour. I'll wait till we get on Liberty Radio so we double our listening audience. We'll talk about how The Church of Kauai looks for brothers and sisters to come join our flock. Let's see. I don't know what Lou's doing here.
Not
because. Oh. Yeah. Lou's trying to help out in there. But that's what we do here. We are a militant Christian militia radio show. I try and I can't add to what the great men have already done out there. The McLambs, the Cornkeys, all those guys that are out there doing it. I'm not going to add anything to that. I'm not going to be able to show you anything that they can't show you in their sleep. But what I can do is I can show you a part of the militia movement that has been forgotten, that exists below the crust of all the other stuff that's going on. And the sad thing is that it's probably the most important type of militia movement there is. Because if you can have a revolution on the inside of your soul and take account for what you've done and put it all before Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you can change the world. Because with the Lord on our side, who can stand against us? And people forget that the militias during the American Revolution and all the way up until probably about World War I, a lot of them came out of churches. Most of them in the American Revolution. We all talk about how George Washington was a hardcore Christian and how he led his men. So that's the worldview you're going to get from me, a Christian worldview. Now, we're not going to sit on here and talk about blowing up abortion clinics. We're going to talk about, you know, any of that garbage that the mainstream media tells you that we talk about. We are a defensive militia at our core, we in the Christian militia. And there's a lot more of us out here than you can imagine. Most people keep quiet about it. They don't want people to know. Because of what happened to Hutari and other militias, you know, how they went after the families at Waco and murdered all those people there, how they murdered the Weaver family members. So, you know, some people are afraid, and that's okay. I'm bold. I will not apologize for my faith, and I will not be ashamed of Jesus Christ and what He calls me to do. And that's what we do here. That's the whole point of this. It's the whole point of trying to remind people about our real history, about how this nation was founded. Yesterday, we were listening to a pirate radio station down in Visalia called Not For Sale Radio. And they had some liberals on there that were talking about Thomas Jefferson. And talk about a butcher rewrite of history. It's hard for rewrite a hit to me. They were saying that, yeah, he was a deist. He believed in a creator and a maker. But he would never, he said he, his goal was to never push his religion on anyone. And they just tore it up, saying that this was not a Christian nation, that there were Christians involved, but there were more deists and Unitarians and all that kind of stuff. So I have to battle that. And the mainstream media is even worse. Yesterday I was engaged in some conversation, or day before actually, where I was explaining to someone how militias start. I said they start out at a cell, two or three guys getting together. Then you have families involved in all this. And they said, well, I'm really scared because you said cell. Al-Qaeda uses cells. Soviets use cells. I said, ma'am, I understand. I didn't say it in a mean way, but I almost said, ma'am, your ignorance, you know, you believe what the media tells you. I said, the word cell is the basic building block of all life forms. It's no different than if I had said grassroots. But at that moment, I said cell. I said, I do not allow my enemy to define the words I use. The media has been great at that, haven't they? You know, they're going to say, oh, militia, ooh, bad. Look at what they're doing. Oh, the militia. The militiamen in Iraq, the militia, the Muslim militias are doing all this. They've vilified the word. And I explained to her, and she came and said, oh, okay, I was a little worried, but I guess I'm not now. We cannot allow the enemy, which is, there's a whole pantheon of them, specifically the media, define who we are and take words away from us. So the point of this show is to regain control and ownership of that word militia and make sure that you, when you say it, you say Christian militia. Christian militia. You know, you don't let other people decide it. Give you an idea here. Theodore Roosevelt, he was our 26th president. Some people don't like him. You know, he split off, did the Bull Moose thing, didn't win. Outdoorsman. A man's man. Had his own militia. He wasn't a pastor, but his militia was bound by biblical studies, by biblical law, and by biblical strategies and tactics. There's an ant crawling over there. Make sure we don't have a bunch of ants coming in over there. Plug the hole. And some people don't like him because he set aside the national parks, which was one of the biggest federal land grabs since the Civil War. But here's something he said. A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education. On the book, Lou, on the new Civil Discovery Act, he's walking up and down the back of the book. You see it right on the first shelf, bottom shelf. It says New Civil Discovery Act. He's growing. I've been watching him for the last half hour go up and down that the spine of that book. Just take the book out and pull the book out. It's just an ant. He's not going to overpower you.
Where is he?
Oh, he got off. See, you took too long. He sat there afraid of the ant. He didn't want to touch the book. Now he's going and he's telling his little ant buddies to come in here. There's lots of food that Lou dropped on the floor.
No, I don't even eat here.
Lou, there's cookies and crumbs all over your side of the table. What are the potato chips?
That's on your side.
Anything from the back of my computer over is your side, Lou. My side's over here, and it's nice and clean, except for these chicken bones. But back to the point, of course. I do get easily distracted by ants and food crumbs. Now, a lot of people don't know who John Peter Muhlenberg was. Now, in 1775, he was the pastor that gave this awesome sermon. Under his cloak, he was wearing his Colonial Army uniform that he had enlisted. And he was trying to inspire his young men of his church, and the old men even, to follow him. This is one of the things he said. In the language of the Holy Writ, there is a time for all things. There's a time to preach, and a time to fight. And when he said that, he took off his black robe, and he marched out with his weapon at his side. And he said, who will follow me in this congregation? It's sad that we allow the federal government to do everything. They even tell us when to set our clocks back, right? They tell us when to send them money. They tell us when and where to send our children to be educated. What can be said in our churches? And it wasn't that long ago that our pastors were carrying muskets into battle. Where did this country go? I can tell you. The churches learned, as Adolf Hitler learned, control the churches, you control the country. Control the schools, you control the future of the country. Governments, like clocks, go from the motion men give them, and as governments are made and moved by men, so by them they are ruined too. Wherefore governments rather depend upon men, and men upon governments. Let men be good, and the governments cannot be bad. If it will be ill, they will cure it. Now that was William Penn. He was a Quaker preacher. He knew that if evil men took over government, government itself would turn evil. Right? How many people have heard of Leonard Ravenhill? He was an evangelist and author, and he said, the secret of praying is praying in secret. A sinning man will stop praying, and a praying man will stop sinning. The revolution starts in your heart. And if you don't lean on God from the very beginning, it's not going to do you any good. Everything you do from that point out will be tainted with your desires and not the desire of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's just so many things I could share with you from our founders. Now, here's one from the other side. Those of you who haven't listened to the show very long will know that I think of Abraham Lincoln probably second only, you know, the only person that surpasses him in evil would be Stalin or Adolf Hitler. So he's up there in the evil triad. Abraham Lincoln did terrible, horrible things to this nation and to its people. And everybody praises him because they think there was something good done. They think that, oh, slavery was abolished. No, he expanded slavery to everyone. Now listen to what Abraham Lincoln said. The philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. So why do you think he sees schoolrooms? Why do you think they took schoolrooms out of the control of the home and the church and the local community and made them national, state-controlled? Abraham Lincoln knew it. Adolf Hitler quoted Lincoln all the time. Tells you about his character there. Let's go to the other side. One of the few great men of God that were military leaders. Oh, there's actually more, but here's one that I really admire. I'm going to give you the quote, and then I'm going to tell you who said it. We have appealed to the God of battles, and he has decided against us. And now, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? Because true followers of Jesus Christ know that it's not our will, it's God's will. But yet we still go into battle. And if we lose, we will not hate God. We will not badmouth God. We will not turn our back on him. And even if we lose, the point is we have to stand up for what is right. And that was Robert E. Lee, commander of the forces of the Confederacy, and when he surrendered his army. A lot of other armies didn't from the South didn't surrender. That's a misconception that we should talk about here on the show one time. There exists today a Confederate States of America. I thought about joining it, but you have to be in the South to do it. It's the only thing I don't like about the CSA movement. They limit their goal to just rising the South again. I think if the South raises again, we should all go with it. And it doesn't matter if it's the Pacific Northwest or the extreme Northeast. Liberty deserves everybody's involvement, and the reward should go to everybody. It shouldn't just be Mason-Dixon line. And it's sad. It's sad. Now, you go back and you look at how this country was started, the very first Anglo-European settlers that were here, before they even put foot on the earth, gave glory and recognition to God. This is from the Mayflower Compact, and I want to share it with you. Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith, mutually in the presence of God and of another covenant, and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic. That's what these folks on the Mayflower decided. This is for the glory of God and for the expansion of the Christian faith. They weren't coming over here to start a corporate endeavor to make money for the what was the big company that was everywhere, the British company that was in Pirates of the Caribbean. I know somebody will remember it. They pretty much were their own government. They were like, back then they were the Blackwater. They ran everything. And then in Canada you had the fur companies. They didn't come here to exploit the land and to rape it of its riches and take it back to Europe. They left Europe to come here and to spread God's kingdom over the earth. Jesus Christ. Thank you, Warland. The Dutch East Indies Company. DEI. The Dutch East Indies Company. So we have to own that too when Native Americans and Latinos get real mad. Yeah. Those were the corporations that came over that raped the land and murdered their people. The Christians came to share with them the greatest gift of all, the message of Jesus Christ. So that's not on us specifically, but the white man's burden, and I don't believe in that. But we can tell them, hey, no, that was corporate. George Mason, a founding father, said, to disarm the people is the best and most effective way to enslave them. Obviously, our government's been listening to these men of the past, and they know that. To disarm the people is the best and most effectual way to enslave them. That was George Mason. And you don't even have to go into the past. And I'm not a great big fan of this next guy. He's the guy that let the fags and stuff into the Republican Party. I've never been a fan of the Republican Party, but, you know, this guy put his hand out and did a lot of bad things, but he did some good, too, and some of his quotes are amazing. Whoever wrote them for him, you know. The churches of America do not exist by the grace of the state. The churches of America are not mere citizens of the state. The churches of America exist apart. They have their own vantage, their own authority. Religion has its own realm, and it makes its own claims. We establish no religion in this country, nor will we ever. That was Ronald Wilson Reagan who said that as recently as the 1980s. And it amazes me that they say, oh, well, that's a lost piling of our nation. We don't do that anymore. We don't need Christianity. Well, since we've been abandoning it, look what's happened to us. I mean, the evidence on its face is right there. The minute we walked away from God, just like Israel did in the Old Testament, things started to go real bad for us real fast. And when I get up, we're kind of winding down here, but the next hour I'm going to start out with a famous Abigail Adams. She was a wonderful woman. I've only caught pieces of the TV show that I think the History Channel did it, or maybe HBO, on John Adams and Abigail Adams. It's amazing to me the caliber of the men and women of that time. I like to think that under the same pressures, I would stand up and be as graceful and as courageous as the founding fathers and their wives and their children were. Many of the founding fathers, their families died on prison boats in Boston Harbor. Many of the founding fathers that set forth died penniless. Their sacred honor, their wealth, their very land, their families, they pledged when they signed the Declaration of Independence. How many today would do that? How many today? I mean, we see the example. The feds scoop up one guy and he's just ready to talk. But how many would just say, no, do what you will to me, but I will not give up my brothers in the cause? John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Only inadequate to the government of any other. Because if we govern ourselves internally, as Christians are called to do, because that's the first level of government, self-government, under Jesus Christ, there would be no need for policemen. But the fact is, bad people do bad things. I don't believe that we need a police state. I believe we need a responsibility state, where we all take responsibility for our own actions, and when our brothers step out of line, we punish them. It's all right there in the Bible. Who needs... I'm sitting in a law room right now with case after case of books, with law books. I don't need that. All I need is the Bible. It's all right there in Leviticus, Deuteronomy. Everything's right there. How do you deal with a child molester? Jesus said it. Tie a millstone around his neck and throw him in the ocean. It's all right there. I know the code. And if I violate it, I know the punishment. These things in here, how can anyone know these codes? How would I know if I'm even violating the law? How do you know? And they say ignorance of the law is no excuse. Well, how many judges know every book in this room alone of this 8 or 9 room library that has nothing but law in it? What judge, what lawyer, what magistrate can say that they know every single law on the books, but yet they hold us to the standard that we must know every law, and that if we break it, too bad? Warland says, what a waste of a good millstone. Use a worn out one. And if you run out of millstones, you start tying them to old cars. A couple steel rims would be enough. I don't know what the music is. I don't know if Luke can get to it fast. I don't know if you can. We'll take a look at it maybe in the next hour, but maybe not now. We only get 2 minutes. I love John Quincy Adams when he said, "Duty is ours, results are God's." John Quincy Adams said that. Duty is ours, results belong to Jesus Christ. That's I kind of got that from. I use that when I say the sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord, and I mean that in every aspect of my life. The sword is heavy. Sometimes I just don't want to get out of bed to even mow the lawn. The battle is hard. Our enemies are amassed against us on all levels. Something even simple little things like trying to get our radio station on the air. Let me make sure it's still there.
Accuracy over volume fire.
There you go. Accuracy over volume fire. See, that's the kind of stuff you're going to learn from Corky. And then the last line that I always say, but victory belongs to the Lord. It's not by our own might. It's not by our own skill. It's by the blessings and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that we accomplish what we do. So duty is ours. We're supposed to show up and do the work, but results are God's. And you don't break God's law. This is when I can't remember the quote on this one, but I love it. You don't break God's law. God's law breaks you. It's just a matter of time. God will win. He always wins. He never loses. We're just not here long enough to see the results on earth. We used to be, before we fell from grace and our lifespans went from 1,000 years to, you know, what was it during the Dark Ages? If you were 25, you were considered an old man. So now we're living, people, it's common to live in the 90s now. And who knows what, you know, Lou's children will probably live to 110, 120 as we gain dominion over our environment, if we live on this planet that long. We do what we do, but the plan is Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, we're not going to get away from that. So let's go to the break. When we come back, we're going to be on Liberty Tree Radio, and I want you guys to participate. I'll give out the phone number again. I don't know why you guys don't like to call. We'll be back after this.
Heaven knows there was a man who fought the righteous fight, till the wrong arm of the law gunned him down in Arkansas. He would not pay one dime of tribute to the IRS, and for his disobedience
I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. Five forty-five p.m. on a North Dakota road, February 83, that's when the war began, where two federal marshals died for the sake of tyranny. They both would underestimate the courage of one man, who only shot in self-defense to save his promised land. Because all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before, and though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war. When all was said and done, and the verdicts handed down, someone had to take the fall, and it was Gordon's son, who was wounded in the fray. Please won't you pray for your recall, who now must waste his life away inside some stinking jail. Please pray the Lord might set him free, through faith we shall prevail. They say all is fair in love and war, Christian blood has been shed before, and though these tents of flesh may fail, the gates of hell shall never prevail. Because he gave his life for me, I shall not fear adversity, and we shall all meet at heaven's door, 'cause all is fair in love and war.
This was not a way to pay down the deficit. This was a trick on the American people.
Government.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
All for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
Government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations,
government,
the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
that. Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Yes, 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 yes. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. Let me turn down this a little bit. We come to you Monday through Friday on the Dutch Jones radio feed off of DutchJones.tk. And Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. It's a little loud there. On Liberty Tree Radio, libertytreeradio.4mg.com. For our second hour, we join on with them, and we're very happy to be here and be sharing our message with you. I am Dutch Jones, coming to you from the church at Cahuilla in Central California. That's right, California. Central California is a completely different state. It's more like Iowa or Colorado or Kansas. We do have our long-haired hippie, hippie dudes, but we also have more good old boys and just the good old core American value type folks A lot of Mennonites here, a lot of Baptists here, a lot of Confederates here. A lot of people don't realize, especially Tulare County, went with the South during the War of Federal Aggression, the first War of Federal Aggression, now that we're in the second War of Federal Aggression. But we come to you trying to share with you our militant Christian worldview. That's right, we're not ashamed of it. We're not going to hide. We're not going to back down and say, oh, well, we can't mix Christianity and the militia because the government's going to come and kill us. That may be true. They may do that. But that's not going to keep us from sharing the message. Now, I want to start out, some of our listeners and some of our folks up here, we're all excited about going to the border this weekend to take part in an operation. Well, that operation has been postponed. Everyone that's on the email list got the warning, but I just in case you didn't check your email, it's been postponed. It hasn't worked out. One of our folks that's a listener, Minuteman, has made contact with the Arizona Citizens Militia, and we were going to try and hook up with them, but it turns out they're not doing anything this weekend. They're still playing. Hello, Stacy. She just walked in. We were a little worried about you. We just paged you. Like, where are you? But there is no op this weekend, and we encourage people to contact the Arizona Citizens Militia. If you're a friend of our show or from our church up here, we're going to try and work that. And then if the other one comes back up, if the postponement comes back, you know, and they say, hey, we're ready to go, I'm not choosing one over the other. I just think it's important that you guys get to the border and do what you can. And so that's where we're going there. And I just wanted to bring that up so that everybody knows what's going on. I've been kind of like the contact person. Everybody's been sending me emails, and then I sent them back out. Hopefully everybody got the word. How was your day, Stace?
It was good.
Car started okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're having car problems. I'm going to take off my pistol belt.
Yeah, there. I feel a little better now.
Is the door unlocked?
Yeah, the door's unlocked down there. You can go on in.
Can
yeah. Refresh. Take your take your book. Did we ever find Lou's copy of the book?
Yeah, it's in the car.
Okay. And so, with that, postponed or undermined? I don't know. I don't think it was undermined. I think they weren't ready logistically with some things. Someone asked in the chat room if it was postponed or undermined. And this was kind of a different deal. This was not a previously established group. It was just some guys that said, hey, you know, let's put on an event and see who shows up. And unless it's going to be pulled off in a good way, it's not worth going to. Any of you that have been involved in this Border Watch stuff, I've been doing it for a long, long time, and I've seen groups come and go, national groups, local groups, and the difference between the good events and the bad events was never luck. It was always in logistics and pre-planning. Having everything ready to go. Some people didn't realize, you know, how many were going to show up in a response, so RSVP is always a good thing to do, and some groups didn't do that. I was at one event, and they thought they were going to get maybe 100 people, and like a couple thousand showed up. And they didn't have enough duty stations for us. So people ended up literally taking off 4 or 5 days from work and only being on the border for one day. I'm not going to name who it was. They're long gone. But it happens. And then you'll have other groups that they got everything figured out, and they let you know what's up ahead of time. You show up, you get your, you know, you get sworn in if they do that kind of thing. You get your locations, your sit rep, your threat assessment, your, you know, whatever else you need, your radio frequencies, everything, and you go out and it works great. And then you got other groups like the Campo Minutemen. You show up, you're an independent contractor. They say, well, where do you think you want to go? And works great. So it's important that these groups have their ducks in a row for large-scale operations. And that does two things. If everything's set up, it makes it harder for the media to make you look stupid. Not that a lot of people care about that anymore, but it is an issue. And then secondly, your interaction with the men and women that are sworn officers down there, it makes it easier to mesh. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the federal government, but I don't want to go down there and butt heads with border patrols. I don't. I want to make their life a little easier. I want to prove myself to be an asset to them. I want to make it so it'll work. And we want to do something that's going to have a positive impact. So and that's what we look for. And I know from listening to the intelligence report, those folks down there in the Arizona militia groups, it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. And for me, I'm kind of happy. I don't know if I don't think I shared this with anybody in the Liberty Tree audience, but I severed an Achilles tendon partially, and it's going to be a while. I probably won't be up and running until the end of August, if I can run at all, which is kind of demoralizing, but I'm still going to keep moving forward, and the Lord will have a place for me if I can't run around the hills with a rucksack on anymore. So be it. I pray for full healing, and I ask for your prayers in that, but I'm not going to be angry at God, and I'm not going to be angry at the world. That's just not the kind of guy I am. I will continue to fit in where I can to do what I can for the holy cause of liberty. That's what we're going to talk about today. Wait a minute, I got a question here from Two Sons of Liberty. Dutch, why don't you and your church try to organize an American militia leader conference at your facility? Just the militia leaders to come and break bread and shake hands. You and Mark, you organize something like that. Well, actually, we do that. We do a regional meeting. Those people that are in the Pacific Northwest, Southern California, we do that once or twice a year. We don't advertise it. We reach out in correspondence, and it's not necessarily a militia leaders group. We have militias send their designates, and we just kind of see where everybody is. And it's a different beast out here in California, Sons of Liberty, True Sons of Liberty. They're not like the big, massive militias. Now, Southern California, you've got the Colonial Marines, you've got the Armenian militia. Yeah, they're large scale. Most of the militias here in Central California are family-oriented or church-oriented. Less church, more family. It's a group of guys that are brothers, usually, or brother-in-laws, 15 to 20 people total in the groups. Much smaller and a much different operational area than, say, our brothers and sisters down in Southern California. There's been a real push here through some of the militias to have a real rigid chain of command, and the folks here in Central California just don't want to buy into that. And I can speak for myself and for about half the militias that I've contacted, and there's a lot of little militias here, fire teams, I guess you could call them, squad size, platoon size, not even platoon size, really. But we want to be here and help be, pathfinders, scouts, that type of thing, and we don't really fit into that rigid structure. And some of it's pride in some of these groups. They just don't want somebody coming in and telling them what to do. Now, our group, if a higher authority came in, if the Lord raised up another George Washington or somebody, we'd fold in, we'd pray about it, and we'd be discerning, and we wouldn't have a problem with it. But like the Fresno militias, no, they're not going to do that, at least the ones I have contact with. They're going to do their own thing for the cause. They're good guys, good men and women. We've Toll House Militia, all the different militias up here are usually community-oriented only. We come down, we share, we offer training because we're the only militia in the whole Central Valley that does professional training. I'll say that without even a doubt. Because whenever we mention things to them, the terminology, and they're like, huh? Oh, we have a video that we watch, or we do this. A lot of them are veterans that remember what they can and train their loved ones and family, and there's nothing wrong with that. We open the door. We have a really good working relationship with, say, like the Exeter Militia, which is a community about, I don't know, what's it, like 18 miles away. Very good relationship with them. Those are the strongest bonds we've built here since I've been here 5 years as the militia recruiter and as the person who is in charge of trying to get folks to come up here and hear the message. But when we have our big open conference, we have 250, 300 people show up. And about 80% of them say when the stuff hits the fan, we're going to be here. And you figure if half of them make it, we're going to have a pretty big group. And things will change then, and maybe we'll get a little more rigid. But as far as having a great meeting with the leaders, it's a little hard to do. A lot of them out here are scared. We live in a police state, probably greater than any other of you out there. The state itself is just terrible. Just driving around, they'll pull you over. I mean, they just lie. They'll say you swerve. They'll pull you over. They'll search your car. They've literally taken our members' Bibles out and photocopied what they underlined just to see what they're underlining in their Bibles. It's that bad, and I can't go into it anymore because we're under a microscope right now, and we're standing firm. We got a brother that's his freedom is being threatened. He's no longer behind the wire. We were able to get him out, and I can't go into it more, but just know that we have a target on our back. So it's hard for a lot of the militias out here, and I'm not going to say it's an unrighteous fear. We don't have it. We'll meet with anybody anytime. And if it turns out to be a Fed, hopefully we'll convert them over to our side because we're not doing anything illegal. Everything we're doing is state and federal constitutional. I'm going to go with I was actually heading on another thread here with this. There's some stuff that I want to cover as a base. Maybe we can set it up as a show another time, especially if I could get some actual militia leaders to call in that have been able to do this and tell me, how they're doing it in their state. And Central California is just an anomaly. We have smaller population bases here, long lineages here that go way back generational. And it's a different thing here than you know, it's more like Iowa and Colorado, but then we have the other side of it. We live in a very extremely liberal state. And it's a good topic, and maybe we'll bring it up on another time. Where I wanted to go today with you is I wanted to extend on the thesis of this whole show, is that Christian militias are the way to go. That America was founded by Christian militias. They were the backbone of the early militias in America. The foundation of this nation was based on Christians with a militant attitude going forth in a new world. It would be the equivalent almost today of us going to Mars, not knowing what we were going to face, to spread the word of God. And some people go, well, that's not like that. Well, look at how many expeditions failed in Virginia. Just disappeared, died, wore off. But it was the Christian ones, when they, like the Mayflower Compact, Jamestown, when they solidified it, so they were doing it for the Lord, and they worked together, they survived. Now, one big thing to me that a lot of people try to do, and I hate it, is they're always trying to say that, oh, Christianity has no place in the Patriot movement. Well, let's talk about some of the Patriots themselves and what they had to say. Here's Abigail Adams, wonderful woman, a model for every Christian Patriot militia woman today. You study Abigail Adams. The way she supported her husband, the way she sacrificed for the cause, the holy cause of liberty, and what her life was like during the American Revolution. Now, she said this in a letter to a friend. A patriot without religion, in my estimation, is a great paradox. As an honest man without the fear of God, it is possible that he whom no moral obligations bind can have any real good will towards men? Can he be a patriot who by an openly vicious conduct is undermining the very bonds of society? Now the scriptures tell us, righteousness exalteth a nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And she grabbed it right there. For me, I don't understand how somebody could be involved in the liberation of men physically and men's souls and not believe in an almighty creator. Now, some people say, well, I can call mine whatever I want. Mine can be Bob, yours can be... No. Specifically in America, we are a Christian nation, whether you want to admit it or not, whether you're an atheist, agnostic, you know. Your faith in being an atheist requires more leaps of faith than my faith in an almighty creator. To go from absolute zero, nothing, to everything we have here now in this universe, in all known creation, and you can't explain it. It even violates your own laws of thermodynamics and Newton's laws of physics. A puppy at rest tends to stay at rest until acted upon by an outside puppy. Where did that outside puppy come from? And you can stand there all day for eternity shaking a box full of atoms, and it's never going to turn into a bicycle. It's never going to turn into a beautiful baby. It's never going to turn into a beautiful sunset. Infinity is your time frame. You're never going to do it. So everything that we do, everything that we believe in, everything that we know with every ounce of our soul is logical. And the logical solution is that there is something out there, and we know what it is because we have the Bible, the unflawed text. You can sit and go, well, what text? What? I use the Septuagint. I use this. The concept of Jesus Christ, the concept of an all-loving God, an all-knowing God, a God that takes part, not an ambivalent God, not a benign God, like some deists would have you believe. We have a real God. He lives and breathes, and well, I don't know if he breathes, but he exists, and he takes part in our lives. Now, John Adams said, and I said this in the last hour, but I got to share this again, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. So you anarchists, you atheists out there, the founders knew you were coming. You probably had a few back then. And look at the French Revolution. It was a humanist revolution. A few years later, and look what they ended up with. I mean, we're not far off that now. But they immediately went the humanist way, didn't they? A revolution without the Lord is a revolution without righteousness, is a revolution without hope. And the revolution has to start in your heart. The Bible says we must circumcise our heart. Because if the change doesn't start in our heart, in our soul, everything that comes out of that will be tainted. And that's why we sway towards the Christian militia. Now, we do interact with just regular Joe militias, you know, where they don't really have an opinion one way or the other. You know, I don't think you'd see us interacting with a Muslim militia. I like the Armenian militia, the Armenian Christians. They're hardcore. They've seen what surrender did to their people in Turkey in the, was it the 20s, the Armenian Holocaust, a real Holocaust that our media's just completely destroyed and forgotten about. They don't want to talk about it. John Adams said in a letter to Thomas Jefferson, "The question before the human race is whether the God of nature shall govern this world by his own laws." I say it often. I'm sitting in a law library right now. Thousands and thousands and thousands of books. But the law of God is contained within one book, the Holy Bible. And everything we need from conducting ourselves as a society that must live together to how we form civil governments to how we wage war is in the Bible. The number one book of the Bible that influenced all the founding fathers was Deuteronomy, the book of law. Ecclesiastes. Do you know that John Witherspoon, I think his name was John Witherspoon, the founding father that signed the Declaration of Independence that was a pastor, had them praying for like 3 hours straight before they began their deliberations to write this, the Declaration of Independence? Now we get, what, a moment of silence in the Congress and the Senate. And look where it's left us. Look where it's led us to. You don't think there's a correlation between the ungodliness of our leaders and the ungodliness of masses of our people and the way this nation is being run and destroyed? The evidence is before your eyes every day at what turning from God has done to this nation. And doing it in a militia is key. If you don't start your, you study the biblical concepts of warfare, flight, deception, it's all in there. And a lot of people don't like to hear this. It doesn't really bother me. I don't care. It's our history. Fact in our history that George Washington was a Christian. Oh, he's a Mason. He did all this stuff. He was a teist. Read the writings of his family. Read what he did and how he functioned. And you tell me, how did this nation face the greatest military force since the Roman legions without a navy, without the arms other than what men brought with them, and we won? We've lost battle after battle after battle. Our men nearly froze and starved to death until the miracles that occurred in the founding of this nation lifted them up and made them victorious over the enemy. I love it when people look at that and say, oh, God's hand wasn't in that. That was just sheer luck. Sheer luck. Try living your life by sheer luck. Seriously. Don't take a hold of the reins of your life. Just let it flow like a river. Be au naturel. Don't give recognition to the Creator, to Jesus Christ. Don't even apply your own intellect to it and see where that leads you. And I always love it. Separation of church and state. Separation of church and state. Do you know that the committees of correspondence, what they signed their documents with, the official credo, motto of the American Revolution, it wasn't no taxation without representation. This is all about my pocketbook. This is about me not having to pay a tax fee, not being able to pay a stamp fee. I want to make sure that I don't have... This is unfair. No. No king but King Jesus is what was shouted into battle, but they don't teach you that in school anymore. They don't put that in the modern movies of the period. No king but King Jesus is what these founding fathers shouted in response to tyranny. And everything that came out of the revolution and that was destroyed by the war of federal aggression was based on theological precepts. And then later on, as things were winding, down from the revolution and the Constitution was going around, you had visitors to our country trying to figure out, how did that happen? How did a colony throw off Great Britain? You had Alexis de Tocqueville. Upon arrival in the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention, he wrote. You've really got to read his essays. It's in one volume now. It used to be in two. Great, big, gigantic. I had a teacher force me to read it in high school as punishment. And I got to find this guy if he's still alive and thank him. I learned more from that Frenchman's assessment of our people and our beginnings than just about any other book I've read other than the Bible. It wasn't, as far as learning volumes. So he said, upon arrival into the United States, the religious aspect of the country was the first thing that struck my attention. Alexis de Tocqueville. You've got to realize he was sent here to figure out, what is this great experiment going on in America? What is so special about them? How did they do this? You know, the French Revolution caused a bloodbath. I mean, terrible things happened in the American Revolution, but you didn't have it anywhere near the level of the French Revolution. In the United States, the influence of religion is not confined to the manners, but it extends to the intelligence of the people. Now think about that. He said, in the United States, the influence of the religion is not confined to the manners. You know what he's talking about there? Everybody being prim and proper and concise and civil, not swearing at a lady, opening the door, being very congenial. A lot of people think that's what being a Christian is today. They put on airs. Go look that up. A very old lady from Oklahoma said, don't be putting on airs. I had to go look it up, and she's right. Don't be all puffed up like a peacock and being phony when there's no substance behind it. It's like false teeth. There behind it is a bunch of rotten teeth that you had over the years. But it extends to the intelligence of the people. And this tells us a couple things. One, that a person who studies the scripture, one, must be intelligent to understand some of the higher precepts. You don't need those to get the grasp of salvation by grace alone through faith. Grace-based salvation, just your faith in it. But you learn higher precepts that men and women have value, that every life is important, that all men are created equal, did not come from something Thomas Jefferson wrote. It came from the Bible. It was breathed into existence by the Lord Jesus Christ through men. And I believe Jesus was around in the Old Testament too. A lot of people hate it when I do that, but I can bring in better men than me that'll have you going, I didn't know that. I sought for the key to the greatness and genius of America in her harbors, in her fertile fields and boundless forests, in her rich mines and vast world commerce, in her public school system and institutions of learning. I sought for it in her democratic Congress, in her matchless Constitution. Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. I get chills every time I read that from his manuscript, Alexis de Tocqueville. He didn't find it in our industry. He didn't find it in our corporations. He didn't find it in the public schools of that day, which, by the way, were Christian schools. I think of all the higher institutions of learning, only one was non-Christian. Harvard, Yale, all of them were Christian. I get chills with that. If America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. Where are we today? This Frenchman figured it out. But yet most Americans just don't get it today. A Frenchman figured it out.
A Frenchie. A savant man.
A guy who does savant in his tight little unitard. I don't know, savant. Yeah, savant was around back then. What is wrong with our nation? Well, we cease to be good. How do you know what is good? No, you can't make it up as you go along. That's relativism. You let sodomites are good. Gay is good. No, you base it on the scripture. And we stop basing what is good on the scripture, and we cease to be a great nation. We are ripe for the picking for a foreign nation right now, aren't we? I honestly don't know why we haven't been attacked, other than the fact that the Lord may be befuddling our enemies. I don't know why this nation hasn't fallen apart sooner. God's given us a grace period. God's given us some time to fellowship together, sharpen our shotguns and polish our bayonets, as I heard somebody say once. I like it that way. Sharpen our shotguns and polish our bayonets. We'll be back after this break. It's become a nightmare.
Signs of the time on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities. And an unspoken fear would on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Some city schoolyards, when bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America.
A lot of anti-Americanism in the world. Let's have some straight talk. There's a lot of anti-Americanism. My friends, one of the things I would do the first day I'm president of the United States is close Guantanamo Bay. I would close it, and I would move those prisoners to Fort Leavenworth. It's become a symbol, which is very bad for America. Look, I think this public opinion, they kind of like bin Laden. People like John Dillinger, you know, people like Billy the Kid, people like Jesse James. I mean, there's a kind of a thing out there. But
thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones radio program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message, and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Obey me!
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
A new
attention.
World order.
A new world order.
Attention.
The
government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Shut back down and shut your trap. It's time for
facts. Jehu's.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, hello, hello. Okay, I can hear myself again. I'll just lean back from the mic. We're back. I'm Dutch Jones. I don't know what happened there, but it just got way louder. Let me bring that one down there. And you're listening to us live on the, I believe it's the 7th of July, 2010. It's a Wednesday. We're getting ready to go to Bible study afterwards, so I will not be here, so don't call my cell phone, don't call the party line here. I won't be able to answer you because we've got to run down there, and we're taking part in a very great Bible study called America's Providential History, which is exactly what we're talking about today. See, I'm not coming up with this. I'm standing on the shoulders of great men. My pastor, Warren Mark Campbell, his father, God rest his soul, Warren Lee Campbell, who's now in the Church Triumphant and fighting the battle from up there, have taught me a lot here in the last 5 years. I always studied the American Revolution. I studied history, and I knew about Christ's hand in it. Even at a young age, I knew that they were Christians, even though I was an atheist. But what I try to share with you here is a few of the foundational evidences of that and some of the observations from people of the time. Don't trust some mealy-mouthed media, prostitute, you almost use the bad word for it, or more pejorative, who's going to tell you how you should interpret history. Don't let some socialist-educated college student in your children's school educate them on it. They shouldn't even be in a public school. I understand some people don't have a choice, like with my daughter, because she's taken away from me with her birth mother, my baby's mama. But we have to learn these things. We have to learn what actually happened back then. And the best way to learn it is from reading the works of people at the time, not what interpretive people have done today, good or bad. Even if you're reading the good stuff that reinforces it, go back and find the people that wrote about it back then. And that's why, like, I use Tocqueville. He made a tour of America after the Constitution went through, and he wanted to find out what was so special about this nation. We're continuing on with that. Someone in the chat room said that I should have Mark Kornke come on and interview him, and I made the comment that'd be like Jay Leno interviewing Johnny Carson. I mean, I don't know where I would even go with that interview. I don't think it would make for good radio. It would just make me sound like a fool. And I don't think he has the time to do a show like mine. I don't know.
Doesn't
but
he do a show?
Yeah, I think he does his own show. I think it's like 18 hours a day he does a show. I don't know. I don't know how the guy finds the time. I find it hard doing 2 hours a day, and doing what little I can do around here with my gimp foot. So, I don't think that would work out too well. I'd be honored if he called, and, I definitely would give him airtime, but it's not like I would even know where to begin, ask him how it's going. But Tocqueville said a couple things, and it shows that the character of America has definitely changed. And here's one thing from that time period, like 1812, I think 1812, 1820s. I got to get the big book here, not just my little notes. The Americans combine the notions of Christianity and of liberty so intimately in their minds that it is impossible to make them conceive the one without the other. Back then, in the founding of this nation, to be a Christian was to be a patriot. To be a patriot was to be a Christian. To attend church was a civic duty as well as a spiritual duty. They had the Sunday laws back then that you just saw thrown by the wayside now. And they knew where their place was. And they knew the source of the liberty, not pieces of paper. Hold that Constitution up in front of a raving lunatic with a chainsaw and see how it protects you. Then somebody said, well, hold the Bible. No, the Bible is just the Word of God. God calls you to be trained martially. He doesn't tell you to hold up a piece of paper. He tells you to grab your steel and confront evil. Grab your sword and follow him. And today, the sword would be the equivalent of an M16, an FNFAL, an HK91, whatever it is. You're called to act by Jesus Christ, not by a piece of paper. Christianity is the companion of liberty. In all its conflicts, the cradle of its infancy, and the divine source of its claims. Liberty comes from the Lord. Liberty does not come from laws. It does not come from men. If a man can give you liberty, he can take it away. You don't want that. And the minute you start doing that because you want to truncate your beliefs, because you don't want to get involved with Christianity and say, well, you know, the Constitution gives me these rights. The minute you do that, you enter voluntarily into potential slavery. Because you're allowing a document made by men, which Ed Kornke pointed out not too long ago when I made the mistake and called it perfect by mistake. I misspoke. I don't think that at all. I just said it in a flow of verbalizations that shouldn't have been put out on the air. The minute you do that, the minute you submit to that, the minute you say, oh, I swear an oath to the Constitution only. And I say, when I took my oath, you know, I knew what I was doing. Now, as a Christian, I say, I swear to uphold the Constitution as it abides under the laws and will of God. I add that, and some people go, huh, what do you say? He mumbled something extra. And my oath with God cannot be broken. To do so would mean the demise of me. I break my oath to the Constitution, what happens? Nothing. You know, just the Constitution, but I involve the Lord Jesus Christ in that. It's a three-way oath. And that's the way people back then were. Now, de Tocqueville would go in and watch court cases to see how our system of law operated. Because it's common knowledge that you can tell a nation by how it treats its criminals, potential criminals, and how it handles the lower classes in courts. Is it really justice and equality for all? Do the power elite not have to go to court? Do the power elite buy their way out by just getting the best mouthpiece like we do today? Well, back then, it wasn't like that. While I was in America, a witness who happened to be called at the assizes of the county of Chester, state of New York, declared he did not believe in the existence of God or in the immortality of the soul. The judge refused to admit his evidence on the grounds that the witness had destroyed beforehand all confidences of the court in what he was about to say. Say this guy gets on the stand, they ask him to swear in the Bible, he says, oh, I don't believe in God. I'm one of these new things called an atheist. I'm an agnostic. I believe in the divinity of the individual. And I don't believe in the Bible, and I don't believe in a soul. And the judge said, well, then you're not qualified to testify in my court. Because if you cannot be held to a higher authority, there's nothing I can do to guarantee that you will honestly answer and testify in this court. Where are judges like that today? You know, here's a little side note. You know why people used to rise up in the court? It was because the Bible was being brought in by the bailiff or the court clerk. It wasn't for the judge in his black dress. I was in a court 4 or 5 years ago, and the guy walked in with the robes on and said, I'll stand for his honorable judge, you know, whatever. And the man I was with refused to stand, and I had yet learned this lesson, and I stood up, and he wouldn't stand. And the judge said, who is that man that will not stand for me? And he says, Your Honor, I do not stand for men, I stand only for the scriptures when they are brought in, and since you no longer bring the scriptures into this courtroom, I do not stand. And he said, bailiff, make him stand. And my friend said, well, since I'm being coerced at the point of a gun and the threat of bodily harm, I will stand, but I am not standing for you. I am standing out of fear for my life. And people, the tension in the court, and this judge just ground his jaw. He said, well, whatever, as long as you stand. From that day on, I learned that I would do the same thing. I talked to this man, and he's one of those sovereign citizen guys. I don't agree with everything he does, but I was like, this is amazing. This man is standing up for the scripture at threat of going to jail, and at the point of a gun is the only way he would stand up. Now he's like 85 years old at the time this happened, I think. No, he's 80. He's 85 now. Amazing. We don't have that kind of character in America. Now, I told you earlier that all the schools in America, with the exception of one of higher learning, were started for Christians, by Christians, so that teenagers would go to college. They got their homeschooling or church schooling, and by the age of 14, they needed higher learning, and there was a need for it. So Harvard, Yale, Princeton, They were set up by clergy to teach them Christian beliefs as well as the law, business, those types of things. Now, the first president of Princeton was a reverend. I believe he was a Presbyterian. I'm not sure of that, but I can look it up. Maybe our Presbyterians in the audience can tell me. He was the first president of Princeton, Reverend Jonathan Dickinson, and he said, "Cursed be all that learning that is contrary to the cross of Christ." It's true. Cursed. I mean, you can learn mathematics, you can learn physics, but the basis better be in Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying you don't teach theories because they weren't in the Bible. Gravity's not in the Bible. Does that mean we don't teach it? There are some people that would make jokes like that, but it's true. There are some cults out there that would say, well, you know, they're Luddites. Well, they didn't have cars in the Bible. We shouldn't be driving cars. Science was created by who? Jesus Christ. Scientists were created by who? Jesus Christ. He put the skills and the abilities in their hands, and if they do it righteously, you can be a scientist and be a Christian. I don't see how you can be an evolutionist, because that's a theory. That's not a mechanism. That's not a study. That's a conclusion that is flawed. Now, I don't even know where to leave you with this, because I've just got a multitude of information. Now, Benjamin Franklin, a lot of people, you know, he was a philanderer, had bastard children around. He was, you know, when he was a representative in France as an ambassador, it was terrible. He didn't have a relationship with his own son until he was older. And he wrote unabashedly about some of his flaws. In fact, all of the founding fathers, my favorite is Benjamin Franklin. He's probably the one who I've read the most of and read his works, because he was incredibly flawed, but he always found the strength to do the right thing. I mean, in the French Indian Wars, at one point, he was marching in the snow as an old man fighting with his militia. He was the first fire chief. He was the first postmaster. This guy's amazing. And he wasn't always a Christian. He was more of a deist. He was one of these true deists that believed that the master made the clock, wound it up, and then walked away. The uncaring God, the God that doesn't take part in our daily lives. But this is what he said: "I never doubted for an instant the existence of the deity, that he made the world and governed it by his providence, that the most acceptable service of God was the doing good to man, that our souls are immortal, and that all crime will be punished and virtue rewarded, either here or hereafter." So even though he may not have been the best Christian in the world, some say he wasn't even a Christian. He did some really, you know, he was a fornicator and a drunkard, and he did those things. He was probably the predecessor to the rock star, to the, you know, the Lindsay Lohan types. But the difference is, he did so knowing what was right and what was wrong, and he knew that our nation needed to have that guide, needed to have that keel to keep us on a straight course. Now, on June 28, 1887, the Constitutional Convention was deadlocked and embroiled in bitter controversy. Benjamin Franklin rose and made the following plea to the delegates, and I've seen it in Disney movies, I've seen it in historical movies, but I love this. "In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor." That quote alone, all of you who say he was just strictly a deist, that disproves it right there, because a deist doesn't believe that prayers are answered. And he's saying, in the beginning of this battle, when we were trying to figure out how to free ourselves from the tyrants, we prayed daily, and now that we have won this victory, have we forgotten, basically, who got us here? We need to keep praying if we're going to get out of this deadlock on the Constitution over the issues of different states not wanting to draft and adopt it in as their governing piece of document. He knew where their liberty came from and where the source of their intelligence came from was prayer. He went on to say, "I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men." Does that sound like a deist? Does that sound like an atheist? No. Like all of us, as we get older, we're wiser. I wasn't a Christian until I was 32. Before then, I used to go around and poke Christians with sticks and verbally abuse them. I made pastors cry. There was a bounty on my head as a teenager. pastors would say, bring this boy into our church. We got to get him in line. Because I was running around with a blue mohawk where they didn't have people with blue mohawks as a kid in Colorado. I was this little anarchist atheist, and I didn't know what was going on, and they would try and bring me to church functions and shut-ins and pancake breakfast, and my goal when I got there was to disrupt everything, and you know, and I'm not going to claim it was demons. I did it of my own accord because I thought it was fun. But now that I'm older, I'm 45, and I can see in the magnificent world around me, I can see in the eyes of my children, the undying love of my wife, that there is a Creator, and His name is Jesus Christ. And this is the same way he was. The founding father Benjamin Franklin found this when he was older and wiser. He went on to say, and if a sparrow cannot fall on the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? I don't like his use of the word empire, but could America rise without the hand of God? Absolutely not. Could it rise without it? Could a pagan empire rise? Sure, Genghis Khan, those. But don't you think for a minute that the Lord rose those up to smite his children when they were walking away? Look at Israel. They would defeat all their enemies, but the Lord Jesus Christ, God, would leave a few there that he may use them as a sword against Israel when they were not obeying his law. It's all there. Somebody smells nice. You do a nice showering thing. I wish I could take a shower. I forgot to today. Oh, here's more Benjamin Franklin. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessing on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the, I gotta turn the page, clergy of this city be requested to officiate in this service. This is where they started doing the prayer before Congress, and now they're doing away with it. Now they're taking the Ten Commandments out. And you don't understand why our country's going down the tubes? Benjamin Franklin, this guy everybody says was a deist drunkard, knew in his soul that prayer was important to start the day, especially when designing a nation. I mean, I've got so much for you guys. I mean, I am just at a fountain of knowledge here that I'm being taught, living in a library of great works, modern and mostly past. Now I'm going to give you one here, and I'm going to read this to you, and I want you to guess who this was. We have brought the priests out of the party political conflict and led them back into the church, and now it is our desire that they should never return to that area for which they were not intended. It's a political figure. I'm going to read it again. See if you guys can guess. I want to see in the chat room there. We have brought the priests out of the party political conflict and led them back into the church, and now it is our desire that they should never return from that area for which they were not intended. Separation of church and state, right there. Boom, bang, bada boom. What kind of great people like that? You know, people, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. They're in good company. That was Adolf Hitler in 1933. He knew to defeat a people, you had to take away their core. And what is their core? Their faith in Jesus Christ. And do not allow the priests, the pastors, the clergy to take part in public civil discourse, because their people will follow. It was the pulpits that won the American Revolution. It was the pastors that showed the people the truth that their liberty comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, not from a king thousands of miles away. And that any king who tries to make that claim should be defeated and overthrown. There's some great men in history who have said some really good things that just in the right moment, in the right time, the Lord uses them, and fortunately, they recorded it. I'm sure there's just volumes of unwritten stuff that were spoken that I wish we had able to tap into. Andrew Jackson. Some people would argue that he wasn't the greatest president in the world, but he fought.
I thought it was Jefferson.
I know, I saw that. Some people thought it was Jefferson. Jefferson actually, in his last days, embraced the church. He never missed a Sunday. People will say that he wasn't a churched man. He always went to church, sometimes different churches, but he always went there. It's very rare that he wasn't in church. Okay, here's what Andrew Jackson said, you know, President of the United States. I nightly offer up my prayers to the throne of grace for the health and safety of you all, and that we ought all to rely on the confidence of the promises of our dear Redeemer and give Him our hearts. This is all he requires and all that we can do. And if we sincerely do this, we are sure of salvation through his atonement. That's a president of the United States. What do you think our president's saying now? When he goes to bed at night. And you wonder why our nation's got the short end of the deal? Well, we deserve it. I'm one of those people that say we're in the state we're in because we have abandoned our civic and religious roles in America. We've abandoned it. We've handed it over to them. And you got good men now that are trying to get it back. You've got great people like Kornke out there. You've got people I don't even know yet. You've got the militias across the country. You got Ron Paul who's trying. I don't know what happened. I wasn't in the generation that abandoned God. I'm in the generation that's trying to win his grace back on this nation. Now, John Jay was a Chief Justice. We've done him. We've used his quotes before. Here's one that applies to today. And then if the judge says, you can't do that, go, oh, really, John Jay? Do you know who John Jay is? He said this. The jury has the right to judge both the law and the fact in controversy. These core beliefs that we're not part of a game, we're not puppets, we're from the founding fathers. And we need to pass these on to our kids. Now, I use this one all the time in different conveyances and different phrasing, but all the founding fathers had this same concept. Peace, commerce, and honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliances with none. Here's one that Jefferson said. You guys wanted Jefferson? Let no man claim to be a true American patriot if he ever attempts to separate religion from politics. All you church and state separation people, Jefferson said that. Let no man claim to be a true American patriot if he ever attempts to separate religion from politics. I'm going to stop with that one. That's Thomas Jefferson. All you deists out there, all you agnostics that say that he wasn't a man of faith. It's weird to me that anybody could lie to themselves that much and then lie to us. Well, here we are. Coming to the end of another two-hour program, an hour on Liberty Tree Radio. I put the call out to you folks to take what I share with you, examine it, study it, don't take it on face value, and make it part of your quiver of arrows that you use to fight these people that are destroying America. Now, I told you I already believe it's too far gone to win with the ballot box, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to have struggles, battles, skirmishes that we can win a little at a time before the big boot drops. The more people we convince, the more people we educate, the better. And if you use these phrases, these beliefs, these known facts, it'll help you uncover enemies too. I love it when you say, well, Scripture says this, when you're in an argument. If that person goes totally berserk because you're quoting Scripture and matching it with the history of this nation and the law of this nation, you know he's one of the enemy. He's possessed of demons or in league with demons to destroy your liberty and all of ours. So the best thing you can do is just not engage him anymore. Just smile and let him know you know who he is. That he's an enemy of liberty, he's an enemy of Jesus Christ. And that he will get his one day when we win victoriously. Because we are going to win. We are going to win. Like Gideon, we may be stripped down to 300 noble soldiers, but we will defeat the enemies of the Lord, who are the enemies of liberty. And we may have to carve out a new nation out of what's left. We may not have all 57 states as Barack Obama thinks there are. We may have a region or two. We may have separated regions that build together and bond together through, you know, trade and commerce. There may be strongholds of the liberal faith. The Lord may leave us enemies so that we do not forget the ways of war. He's a good God. He doesn't want us to be fat and stupid. That's not the point of his salvation, is it? So all that you can do now is to be a reflection of his light. And a reflection of the light of the founding fathers, too. You must educate yourself. Being a patriot is not about getting a weapon. It's not about learning how to grow a garden. Those things make it. They're part of it. But being a patriot, being a freedom fighter, being a partisan, is about living for a much nobler cause. Liberty and justice for all does not come from a piece of paper, it comes from the Word of God. All men are created by their Creator with inalienable rights. Where do you think they got that? We serve an awesome God, and He will get us through this. And even if we fail, even if I fall in battle, I will not stop loving Him. I will not stop worshiping Him. I will not stop giving all the glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. My heart is molded by His hands and is therefore His to spend any way He sees fit. And as for me and my family, we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Where do you stand? Where do you stand in this second war of federal aggression, in this holy cause of liberty? Where do you stand? And I'll leave you with that. Answer to God. Doesn't matter what you answer to me.